This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Welcome to Marvel Vision, a podcast about Marvel, the MCU, and right now, Thunderbolts.
Yeah, that's
Thunder. I'll stop. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And if you haven't seen the movie in theaters yet, go see it because we're definitely going to spoil it. But
bolt up.
Bolt it up. This is the second of three movies coming out from the MCU. As we are taping this, it's Sunday, so we have a perspective on the box office.
If
we want to
yes,
get real wonky about that, but we're not going to start there. That's no fun.
No.
Instead, we are going to start, as we usually do with this sort of thing, how you saw the movie, what the reaction from the crowd was.
And of course, there's trouble with the Marvel flip. There's trouble.
What are you talking about?
There's trouble with it.
It's glorious.
You jumped past it. I know Pete was bursting at the seams to talk about the Marvel flip, and we've gotten a lot of notes.
It's a glorious flip.
It's voided.
Talking about the flip. We can get there in a second. I do want to, before we get to the flip or the actual content of the movie, just talk about like your general impressions of how you saw it. I can start. I've actually seen it twice already.
Oh!
Yeah, saw it at a press screening, as I've explained before. Always the best way to see it, with press who are like, yeah, losing their minds. Yeah. You know how the press are.
Yeah, when Sebastian Stan rolls through. Oh, man, that's when the reporters really light up.
Sick, man. No, it was a relatively muted press screening. And then I went to see it on Free Comic Book Day on Saturday with my family. We went to see it at 9:30 a.m. at the Regal Union Square.
Yes, same, but today.
Got to tell you, first of all, great movie theater. Good picture, good sound, comfortable seats. Nobody there at 9:30, which also is maybe okay, I think. Like, it was just pretty much the four of us and two other people all the way up front. So I'm good with that.
I treated it like church. I went straight in on a Sunday a.m. alone, and it was light in the theater as well. But like you're saying, not a knock on the movie, I don't think. I think the movie is doing well. And honestly, I love an empty theater. You can really kick back, be weird. You can call your friends when you want to. It's a blast.
Yeah. Pete, what about you? How'd you see it?
I once saw Sam Rockwell at that movie theater. I saw it in
Iron Man 2, just to be clear.
No,
yeah,
no,
on the screen,
at the
right?
Regal on 14th Street.
In Iron Man 2.
No. Oh. He was coming out of a movie. He was like on the phone. Like
he was seeing Iron Man 2, and he said, good job, self.
But yeah, I saw it
Justin
on IMAX.
Nailed it.
And
yes.
It was partially packed. I wouldn't say it's a full theater, but I saw it on Thursday night. So, people were hype.
Nice, yeah, partial pack.
If we want to get into that very briefly, and then I think leave it at the end because this stuff is always very wonky. But opening weekend domestically, it made $76 million, which is like right at the high end of the early tracking, which was very wide tracking. It went from like $63 million to $77 million. But this is also about 10-ish million lower than Captain America Brave New World. Granted, it has better reviews than that. The polls coming out of the theater are better, so you would expect that it'll have some legs in the coming weeks. The only thing that's kind of working against that a little bit is it's a pretty crowded summer. It's losing its IMAX screens next week to Final Destination Bloodlines, and then you got Mission Impossible and Lilo and Stitch are coming out. So we will see what happens. It's maybe a little too early to make a call. I skew a little negative on what the box office prospects are. But again, we can talk about that towards the end.
Sure. But I will say, I think a partial pack is a great way summarizing this whole movie. I feel like it's got a lot going on, but it's doing a lot well, I thought. So that's a big step up, I think, from some earlier Marvel movies, or at least the recent Marvel movies.
I made a friend with a past me. It was like when I went and saw Brave New World, the theater by me like switched their rewards program. So I was having a fun conversation with the manager about where my points went. And then for this movie, I saw a guy who looked very similar to me going through the same thing. So we had a fun moment before the movie even started.
Is his name Past LePage?
Yeah. No, we didn't. It didn't get so close where we exchanged names.
You can't. No, because then you do the time cop thing.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Bubble. You turn into a
bubble.
Let
me say, that's when you were escorted out of the theater in handcuffs, right? When you tried to get your points
Not
back.
That wasn't that time, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Pete, what was your general, why don't we go into general impressions of the movie? Pete, what did you think about it? Even beyond the Marvel flip, broad strokes.
It was all right. I had some fun. I laughed. I had some fun moments, but I don't like Sentry as a character. So it was like the Spider-Man with me, where I felt like I was ahead of the audience because of my comic book knowledge, where I was like, I don't want to deal with this whole fucking thing. And of course, then we had to deal with it, like with Mysterio, and everybody's like, oh, Mysterio's great. I was like, no, he's not. So, for that part, it got dragged.
We've talked about this before, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but it's crazy to me that you're like, I have too much comic book knowledge, so therefore this
is bad. If I didn't know about Sentry, I would be like, oh, wow! You know what I mean? And I've seen people post reviews and talk about stuff that don't know about Sentry and were surprised and kind of delighted by it. But I was
it's crazy that our fandom has gone so far through the looking glass that you're like, curse my brain. Why do I have to know this?
Curse
my
mind.
I can't believe I have to see myself on screen. I wish I could void my own brain.
Pete,
enjoy
your life
this
is basically
shit.
A Greek tragedy that's going to end with you at the end of Avengers Secret War. Something's going to happen. You are going to tear your own eyes out with your fingers.
Yeah, it's like that old Twilight Zone episode where the guy steps on his glasses, but instead it's you find glasses and see too much, and you're like, no, I see everything.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm actually very surprised about the reaction, not the Sentry thing. That's exactly the sort of off-the-wall thing I would have expected and could not have predicted. But I really thought you were going to really like it because people have generally been responding to the movie. But I think I'm on the same page as you, Pete, where I thought the movie was like, I thought it was funny. I thought it was fine. Like there was some emotional stuff, but it was like not quite there on any level on any particular part. Where it's the sort of thing, to give the Marvel example, it's the sort of thing, if it came out in 2015, I'd be like, yeah, this is a good Marvel movie. But now, and this is a weight of expectations, and this is certainly external to the movie, but it feels like more pressure on every movie to deliver to turn around the franchise, and this was not it. The example that keeps coming around in my head is like when you're in a party and you turn to somebody, you're like, this is a fun party, right? And they're like, yeah, well, this is a fun party. And you're not doing anything. You're not having fun at the party, but you're like remarking on it. You know what I'm talking about?
That is a bummer when anyone at a party turns to you and says, like, you guys want to review this party right now? Like, no. I'm in.
Just let me check in. Are you having fun podcast at this party?
Are we at a party? Just checked it out.
Yeah. Anybody else want a podcast
JT
right now?
JT says, you're a general.
Here's
the
thing.
I always bring a couple of microphones to every party just in case a podcast breaks up.
Exactly. Keep them with your hand on the on button. Anybody got some takes? I think it's crazy that I'm the more positive one because I really enjoyed it. And it looks way better than a lot of the recent Marvel movies. Yeah. Like it's shot better.
They shot
it's more
IMAX.
Interesting.
So if you saw an IMAX, that was nice.
Nice. Yeah, there's some good action. I mean,
that opening shot was unbelievable, and apparently Pew really did it. Like, she did that kind
she
of,
died.
Like, step
That was
off.
Actually the last shot she that died. Got in the movie. She jumped
she
off.
Died.
Of she died.
The other thing I was going to say is, like, it... It had a story. It wasn't overstuffed. It had, like, one idea. And sure, there was a lot of, like, they had to do a lot of referencing to TV shows that I think we all sort of are like, I don't need to think about that ever again. But I do think it was, like, it felt like a unit. And, yes, I have some things to criticize about it. But I also think maybe the reason you, Alex, is liking it less, Pete, I don't know why you don't like it per se, but I'm excited to find out. But, Alex, it's very much not a Marvel movie, I feel like. They're moving out of the Marvel tone a bit, I think, here. For instance, I thought comedically this movie was, like, not super hot. Only later, I feel like once David Harbour gets there, I think he brings a nice spark that actually – realigns everybody and gets everybody just moving a little bit.
And, I mean, when he shows up with a limo, I mean, that's just nonstop fun from that point on a little bit. I mean, it goes to a nice run
I would push it even
by the way, just
a
little bit of a sidebar here. After I had seen it and you were just partially at the show this week, I talked to Pete about it and he was like, I don't even know your opinion. I don't know. But did you like it? Like, he was definitely asking for a little bit more than Pete usually does. So I told Pete, I was like, listen, David Harbour's going to come in. He's going to do his Yakov Smirnoff thing, and you're going to love it. You're going to love every bit of it, and that's exactly what happened, right, Pete?
That's a great call.
When
he's giving John Malkovich and Rounders a run for his money.
Embarrassing dad moment where she's like, oh, God, kill that's me now. My
Florence
dad is here.
Great in this movie.
So great. Well, she was really a highlight of the movie.
And I love that they pinned the movie on her. Smart.
Smart.
Great character. And I will say, like, even though there's still some, like, bad meta moves in this that are like a little bit old Marvel movie and a lot of like yada yada this and yada yada that, like, for instance, David Harbour's limo just showing up where they are, I was like, huh, cool. How'd he do that?
Yeah, and see them from hundreds of feet away.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense. But I do think there's in that area of the movie when they start to compare their guns a little bit later than the David Harbour's entry, that's when I feel like it popped off. It was like when it's right before they're going in and Valentina to, like, they smash the truck in the front of the building and they're fighting. It's like 2/3 of the way through the movie. And she's like, hey, I left the door open. What are you doing? And the action stops. I was like, oh, it feels like they just locked it in right there for the final act. And I feel like most Marvel movies do the opposite. And this one, I think, struggled in the beginning with trying to, like, align all the exposition that needed to happen or, like, connect all these dots from all these different things. But in general, they had all the mercenaries showing up and being like, my mission is to kill you. Like, yeah, I'm here to kill this. That's fun. And that's like a nice, gamey, sketchy idea that really works in these set pieces.
So just to clarify about one thing, I don't have a problem with going outside the Marvel tone. Please push it as far as humanly possible. What I do have are some things that kind of put me off throughout the movie. One of them, which you already touched on, is it was funny, but I didn't really laugh that much, and I want a comedy to be something that I laugh out loud at. Like, I chuckled once or twice, and that was pretty much it.
Well, and this movie had the bones of a comedy. Like, it's all these, like, you know, misfits coming together, and they just couldn't quite do it. They just couldn't get in there and be fun and funny, and that's maybe my biggest letdown of the movie.
I thought they were good. I you know, I also loved Ghost. I thought she was really great in this.
Great.
Whole cast, again, like Florence Pugh, casting. I think, is definitely 100% the highlight. She makes a whole meal with every single expression and line. She's fantastic throughout.
Daughter-father stuff was just up. Yeah, when she showed up and he was like, what's it been, a year? Oh, my God. Just
And that's great. But the whole cast is really good as well. But that's the thing, that, like, these are people who are funny, who know how to deliver a joke. And the jokes are like, this is, again, I think, to get back to, like, the party metaphor, where it's like the sort of thing like, oh, you're hanging out at a party and everybody's being kind of loose and funny, but you're not, like, tears pouring down your face, crying with laughter necessarily.
The it's like someone saying at a party, like, these pretzels are making me thirsty. And you're like, what? That's not a joke you can say. That's from 20 years ago.
Other thing that you touched on that I wanted to mention that was driving me up the wall through the movie was the exposition, like you said, where I understand there's a utility here to it, but every time a new character showed up, and even sometimes in between, they kept reiterating who they were, what their situations were, what their backstories are. And I don't think this is specifically what it was, but it felt like the thing that Netflix is getting criticized a lot for, where they've made movies for while you're making dinner, so you haven't paid attention for 10 minutes, and then you cut back, and they're like, just so you know, I'm the Winter Soldier, and that's Ghost over there. Ghost has chronic pain, and she's stuck in her suit. Anyway, moving on with the next thing that we're going to do.
Yeah. Like, it was so bad, like, when they were like, well, what do you think, the Winter Soldier? I was like, why does everyone know that's his name? Well, he should not be known as the Winter Soldier. That's his code name from a secret time when he was a Russian asset. People are just knowing him that way. Like, it was – all that stuff is too much. And sorry, Pete, you can talk.
Well, I'm just saying, like, one part that I thought was really awesome was Bucky's entrance and then the Red Guardian's reaction and being like, it's the Winter Soldier. And it was so badass. I mean, that was just the
conclusion.
The fight sequence stuff was great.
Generally good fights. There's one that I have a quibble with, but I thought generally, like, the fights are really good. You're absolutely right about the Winter Soldier entrance, which, first of all, straight up, and I think they've said this, is Terminator 2.
Terminator.
When he entered.
Yeah.
And this is the point of it, and I think this is what they effectively do, is when he comes in, you're like, oh, it's a real hero.
A superhero is here. I was like, yeah, good.
And it's great. And that whole sequence where they're being chased is great. The build of it is great. Ghost coming out and getting hit with the sound waves and getting pulled back in. The pony at the beginning is a fun little bit as well, when he, like, hits the thing with the defenses, but it just plays Genuine's pony. But building up to, like, his entrance this is a comedic beat that did work, is the big, like, yeah, Bucky, woo, woo, and then Bucky shooting the thing at him
and attacking them.
Wyatt Russell's delivery, I'm paraphrasing a lot, where he's like, hey, it's Bucky,
shit.
And he cuts off right before the T. Perfect. Like, that's great. That's a good joke. That's one of the places where I chuckled.
Agree. Really good.
I also chuckled right after that when they were all tied up and they're trying to tell Bucky what the real problem is with Bob. And then, you know, regarding this, to be like, we told you, like, so many times. I laughed out loud at that.
That was fun. I agree. But here's in that scene also is something that bothers me a little bit about the way that they just make these movies in general. It's sort of all movies in this action, superhero, any of those genres. Like, when Red Guardian throws the Molotov cocktail, I was like, oh, awesome. And then it doesn't work. I was like, why can't that just work? Like, there could have been two Jeeps for Bucky to kill. Mm-hmm. And, like, it reminded me of Indiana Jones movies. Like, he gets to kill Nazis all the time. He doesn't have to miss a bunch and then somehow beat them all at the end.
Wait,
he gets to make progress.
Taking shots at Indiana Jones right now?
No, I'm saying Indiana Jones did it right, where, like, stuff got to happen all the time. It wasn't all just a math equation where it was like, yes, okay, they have to be bad for all this time until Bucky comes and is good. And then they're bad again and then they're good again. And that hit on a lot of the sort of meta moves in this movie that I just feel like, it's like so far beyond, like, postmodern takes. Like, we're so much of, like, why they know the characters almost know they're in a superhero movie and they're commenting on the fact that they're in a superhero movie. They're in the superhero part of the story. I'm like, guys, let's just, and the movie, this, they did a better job at it here than most other Marvel and definitely DC movies. But I'm like, get rid of all that and just let these characters be in a story. Like, we don't need, they're trying to do Tony Stark and it doesn't work because whatever Robert Downey Jr. does, he can get away with it and it feels in world. And it feels so writerly and so outside the story.
Well, so to that point, two things that I want to say. One, I hear what you're saying about this moment. I actually think it just, like, is a comedy bit that doesn't hit because of the way the flame looks and the way that they cut it off. It just, I was thinking about it both times while I was watching it. Like, this should be funny, but there's something about the pacing of this particular joke that just isn't working at all with the stunt. But I think to your point, like what does work about this movie and when it does work is when they lean into the individual character voices. That comes out, like we said, I think perfectly with Yelena Belova, which makes a lot of sense because Eric Pearson, who was one of the co-writers of this movie, also wrote Black Widow. So he's very familiar with her and her voice at this point. But I think it also really comes out here with Wyatt Russell's John Walker, U.S. agent, who is miles better than he was in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I think a large part of that is because they leaned into who John Walker is from the comics, which is a really grating jerk who you want to strangle at every point. But he's also like kind of good at what he does at the same time. And it's so frustrating to watch, but they nailed it.
He's like a flip. I mean, in the comics too, he's like the opposite of Captain America, and he can just be that, like, let him be good and be annoying and good is like a great combo.
Yeah. They could just not show him. That'd be great.
Yeah. Versus Ghost, who I like and has a really cool power. She definitely, they don't do enough with her. And it was very frustrating throughout the movie. I think most of her lines are that quip machine, Robert Downey Jr. thing. And there's not a lot more going on there. When I do think Hannah John Kamen showed, honestly, in like Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I know people like to deride, but like she showed she could do more there.
Yeah,
I would
definitely
love to see more of that and an extension of that rather than her just flipping off jokes at people and standing in the background and quipping and that's it.
Yeah,
but I mean, she still was great. She was a great part of the movie, I thought. It, you know, it wasn't.
She's not here. Well. She's not going to get mad at you, Pete.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you know, we talked earlier about how the casting was great. So I want to still kind of.
Everybody's good. Yeah. All I'm Everyone's saying is good. While we're talking about the different character voices, to get back to the point that I was saying, this movie works when they lean into individual character voices and how they all work together. When it is that flat wash of joke that Justin's talking about, the movie dips because it's just joke machines rather than people. It's not pushing plot. It's not pushing emotion, anything like that.
And it'd be different if the jokes were germane to the character, but it gets very even writerly jokes.
I'll give you a specific example of one that I don't think works that I think ties into what we're talking here, and then we can move on because I think Pete's getting set, is in the limo scene that we're talking about. When they're talking about how Alexei hasn't slept for a while, they cut to this close-up of Wyatt Russell, and he's like, I'd prefer if somebody who did sleep was driving, or some line like that. Like, he does it with the rhythm of a joke, and it's clearly a cut-in that they did later on to have a comedy beat there, and it's like, this isn't funny, and he wouldn't say that. What are we doing?
Yeah.
They did Taskmaster dirty, that's for sure.
Let's talk about that.
I thought that was good, though. I was like, it made the movie feel like stuff was happening early, as opposed to them being like, I can't, we all came to kill each other, and we're all just hanging out.
I mean, definitely raised the stakes. I hear that because you're like, oh shit, they killed off Taskmaster. You're like, I guess anything can happen.
And then nobody else dies.
Yeah.
It raises the stakes and then keeps them at that level pretty evenly the whole time.
But I think that doing it at that point, it drew me in. I was like, oh, there's story here.
I'm glad it worked for you.
There are moves here. And even though no one else died, even the people that got voided.
I was like, that's bullshit, man. Fuck you.
I think what Pete is getting at, and I kind of had the same comic book fan reaction, is we've now had two-ish movies with Taskmaster, and neither of them have they seemed to care about Taskmaster from the comics.
Who cares about Taskmaster?
I care about Taskmaster. It's a cool villain. Here's the thing. You're saying you don't care about Taskmaster.
That's what I do.
Pete does. Two out of three dentists. I don't know if we've ever mentioned we're all dentists.
We are all dentists. By the way, Pete, cool. I need you to clean my teeth again. They're dirty.
I'm out of laughing gas. I need to restock and I'll be able to get you.
Mm-hmm. You know I'll that thing about you go into a town and there's two dentists and one has disgusting teeth and the other has gorgeous clean teeth. Which one do you go to? That was based on us.
That's true. And you go to the disgusting one because that person cares more about other people's mouths, right?
Yes, he can't clean his own mouth. The logic problem is actually based on haircuts, not teeth, just to be clear about this.
Yeah, dentist, clean thy own teeth, they say.
It's impossible for a dentist to clean their own teeth.
Is that true? I feel like I could figure it out.
I don't think
Justin,
so.
Justin, I want to get back to something you said.
You remove one rib and I think you can do it.
Oh, yeah. To make the dentist.
Justin, I want to get back to something you said earlier that was crazy. Why are you talking shit about the Marvel flip? I thought it was a nice change of pace.
It's gone, Pete. It got voided. It's over.
What are you talking about? It had a nice kind of like updated, you know, flip looked.
Well, hold on. We're actually not talking. I did want to talk about this because I was very pleasantly surprised that we saw the comics. For the first time in, I don't know, like...
That's what started this whole fucking thing.
Well, but they transitioned... I know you always say that. They transitioned a couple of years into doing the MCU characters were in the letters as they were turning it. It was weird. It's a weird choice to be like, Thunderbolts. We're going to include the Thunderbolts in Century Comics. Things people know and definitely love. But... at the same time, I was very pleased to see them.
Here's my conspiracy theory on why. They're like, let's not show all these other stars that people like better. We have to let these Thunderbolts, because you're not getting any of them in this movie.
I think it was a smarter choice to call it Thunderbolts and then at the end go New Avengers, because if it was called New Avengers and at the end they
Alex
said...
Alex hates it. I like it too, Pete. Alex doesn't know shit.
And then at the end said Thunder... You know what I mean? Like, if you said New Avengers, I'd be like, harumph. But Thunderbolts, I'm like, okay, what are we doing? You know what I mean? So I felt like it was a smart move.
Well, let's talk about that in a little bit. Because now, look, now Alex is mad. This is
now Alex is sad.
Yeah. Look, Alex is legitimately mad.
There's a couple other things
that I want to talk about getting into it. Let's first talk about Bucky's. Let's talk about Bucky's political career. What the fuck?
I would love to do that.
No, that was like 2 minutes before shooting. They're like, we got to come up with a job for him. And they were like, mayor?
No, you don't. They set it up in Brave New World because he's like, running for Congress. Also, this don't even get me started on my timeline. I know I've ranted about this before, but absolutely drives me insane that, first of all, Brave New World, not to get too deep in this because it makes me feel like my brain is breaking when I talk about this stuff, but Brave New World takes place for the most part in 2027. Mm. He's running for Congress at that point, right? So he gets in Congress. Who knows when that election happens? 2028. Yeah, 2028. So
that's when elections are.
No, I know, but... I think they have said this movie also takes place somehow in 2027 at the same time. He's also had half a term already in Congress. So this is several years down the road, even though still it's 2027. And then, not to jump too far ahead, for no good reason, in the end credit sequence, they're like 14 months later, which doesn't even line up with when Doomsday is coming out. It blasts past that point. Why are they doing this? Why are they bothering with any sort of timeline whatsoever? It's insane.
I don't know, and I hate knowing. Because I'll forget it now. I'm going to delete that. You have to keep remembering it,
and
that's a bummer. That's a bummer for you.
Drives me crazy.
But like on the Bucky stuff, like they made him in Congress, and then they didn't use it there. It was like one of the better scenes.
Do you think it was
because
he did such a good job playing Trump that they were like, we got to have this guy be in office. He's so good in this role.
Because here's the thing. In Brave New World, like that was one of the better scenes because that movie was bad. But it was also this doesn't make any sense why anyone would elect this Russian asset to Congress.
Why would you?
B, I was like, oh, they must use it in Thunderbolts. And then they didn't use it. A single bit in this movie.
They used it a little bit. They mentioned it a couple times.
It was only an excuse so he could get together with the team. That was the only reason.
They used it. It comes up twice.
I have a bunch of follow-up questions about the whole Bucky
thing.
How much
Mayor Bucky did you want in this movie, Justin?
Congressman.
He's a congressman.
Positions.
I'm just saying, why make such a big deal out of something that was not a
non-factor? I know Pete lives in a very small town where the congressman is also a mayor, is also a dog.
Yeah, exactly. He's got an Mayor Bud situation over here.
Mayor Bud wouldn't be better than what we got going on right now. Come on.
Wow, yeah, nice.
Running a government is pretty rough.
Oh wow!
That's the tagline.
Right.
I didn't know if your dad
Here's a couple of things about the Bucky thing. Just to start off with the whole Congress storyline, I actually thought it was really interesting, and I thought the idea of Congressman Gary being like, "Read the packets, Bucky. We're actually going to like take her down and make this work with inside the system." was interesting, but I think they were framing it up as like a joke, and it was like, who would want to talk about packets? Who cares about Congress? They can't do anything. Was that the idea there? Which is kind of crazy.
I think the idea was that people should read the packets, and then eventually he read the packets, and it was like, oh, all right, good.
Yeah, maybe it's because it's Wendell Pierce who has a certain level of authority versus back in Winter Soldier when they had Gary Shandling doing it. He was supposed to be a bumbling fool. This did not come off to me as a bumbling fool. Bucky was the bumbling fool. They talked about how, like, he never passed a bill. He wasn't good at being a congressman at all. So, like, what was his arc there? His arc was, I'm in Congress. I'm not good at it. Time to go back to what I do, strap up a metal arm, and pew, 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 pew.
That's right,
now in the Avengers, the end.
Well, as much as I talked about how I thought killing Avengers. Taskmaster was stakes, this was fake stakes that didn't need to be there. Bucky could have been doing anything in the world.
Do you think they had more stuff with it and they just cut it?
I don't know. I don't know.
He didn't feel like it.
He's great. Like, he had the best, like we said, best action scene. The Terminator 2 thing is awesome. Yeah. He has that really cool shot during the final fight where he flips the truck with his arm. That was great. Even on the flip side, seeing Sentry smack him down with his own arm. Ooh, very cool. Like, all the stuff with Bucky is very cool. But it tracked absolutely zero towards the end of the, by the end of the movie, where he's like, oh, okay, I'm on the Avengers now. Sounds good. No need to bring Valentina to justice after this. Like, my kids asked me at the end, they were like, what happened with that congressman? And I was like, I don't know. They lost that plot line completely halfway through. It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I feel like the first third of this movie was just messy, where it was like the stuff that felt important. But unlike a lot of other Marvel movies, they would have kept doing the unimportant thing till the end. And at least in this, they just like, okay, let's not do that anymore. They could have better.
I guess I disagree, because I thought it was interesting. And I think one of my big frustrations with the movie, which granted, I think part of the purpose is like the Pee Wee soccer team, the Thunderbolts, never won a game. So they don't really win at the end. Like, I think that's kind of the idea there. But that hasty wrap up at the end there bothered me to no end.
Well, I think along the lines of what Alex is talking about.
I'm jumping ahead.
I think a microcosm of what was wrong. Like, we became very invested in this guinea pig, and then we never saw that guinea pig again.
You know
what I mean? Like, she saved that guinea pig. Yeah. We're now like, oh, maybe taking care of some animals will bring some joy to her life, you know? But then I don't know if that guinea pig's alive. Has she murdered that guinea pig? Like,
I 100% agree with you, Pete. If you set up a We Bought a Zoo, pay off on the zoo. By the
exactly.
Mm, that's really good. I definitely heard a lot of chatter about the guinea pig.
I stand by it.
I liked Bucky's arm in the dishwasher. I thought that was fun. Spoiled in the trailer, obviously, but still the most interesting thing about his
story. Was the idea that he got sandwich juice on it and that he had to wash
his... Well, because he juices his shirt.
Yeah. Right, but why would he have to wash his arm in the dishwasher?
Because he got some on his arm. He got some on his arm.
It doesn't stain, it's vibranium.
I don't know.
He likes a clean arm, dude. Why are you mad at him?
I don't know.
Wash your hands, Alex. Wash your hands.
Okay. I mean, to be fair, I guess it just occurred to me that is how I wash my hands. I stick them in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Well, if you could, you would.
On the Thunderbolts thing, I feel like I wish they just waited to just tell the story, but they started to say Thunderbolts too much. And then, because when he said
West Chesapeake,
the story's fine, but they started to be called the Thunderbolts before the moment. If they waited the moment, they got a little nervous, I think, about the joke. And it was so good when he shouted it.
They held it off. You're right. Less would have been more with that. That would have been a really fun kind of like moment for sure. And I think maybe they specifically wanted to kind of play against that, you know, but I think I would have landed better. I do agree with you.
Can we talk Sentry?
Sure.
If you want to.
I thought he was good. Obviously, we knew what was happening. Bummer for our big old brains, right, Pete? Mm-hmm. That's why you got to hit yourself in the head with a sledgehammer before you go into any movie.
Don't forget.
But I really liked first off Void's powers, the way they portrayed them.
Dude,
so good. Really liked that.
It reminded me of the old
both the design.
So random his powers. He's like, I can see your darkest memory. Also, no, I mean, voiding people. Shadow zone into the soot.
Pete, I agree with you. He had too many powers and it was all over exactly the place. What he was. Other than Valentina being like, you can do anything. And then he can do anything.
Yeah.
Like there was no real consistency with what was going on. But I also agree with Justin. I think visually, the way they did the void was awesome. Like I thought that was a really, really good effect. Just physically him, the part at the end when Bob is punching him and you can finally see him smile and sort of see his teeth in there as well. Very creepy. And yeah, the voiding effect, somebody said this on our Discord, but creepier than the blip. Like that is
much creepier.
Really upsetting effect. Very, very well done.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the original Batman 66 movie when all the villains turn the like town, like the mayor and everyone in Gotham to dust.
Mm-hmm.
You remember this? It creeped me out when I was a kid because they were just like, it was like, and they were little piles of dust. And something about that really freaked me out as a kid. Mm-hmm. And this had the same like effect, and it was much simpler and less CGI. It was just had a much more emotional and punctuated effect that I thought was like smart, a little more artistic.
Reminded me of Iron Man 3 when they were exploding people and their kind of shadow would be burnt against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And then I thought Louis Billman was really good. I thought he was good in the role. He was good as Bob. He had the one moment I think I laughed out loud when they're in the bunker and the camera sort of swings over to him and he's like, oh boy, this is getting really tense in here.
Yeah.
That to me is
yeah.
Like, that's, yes, that is
funny.
That is funny. He is funny when he is doing it. His character was interesting. I liked his relationship with Yelena. I thought that was really good and emotionally solid to draw a connection between those two characters. I do think, and I understand why they did this in the movie, but I do think the movie ended up being the, you know, Yelena and Bob movie almost to the exclusion of the other characters, which when you have a team movie is a little rough at the end. Like I wanted to see more of all of them, particularly once we get to the shame rooms or whatever they called them.
Yeah.
And apparently there was a plan for it. Like they worked through all of those iterations and just couldn't quite make it work.
I did love Bucky's joke there. He was like, are you all right? And he's like, oh yeah, my past was a thrill ride. I thought that was funny.
But I think to bring everybody's arcs, if they had worked more on everybody's arcs, we would have seen those things and those would have brought them to a close, particularly again, Ghost who gets like nothing.
Yeah.
But even Winter Soldier, we don't see Red Guardian shame room or anything like that. But again, like just to get back to the whole Bob of it all, I thought the relationship was good. I thought his relationship and all the talks with Valentina was interesting as well. And I did like the idea of dialing into him being manic depressive. But this is another thing that I think they completely whiffed at the end of the movie is, God, I forget the line, but there was a line where... And I know a lot of people online have been like, wow, this movie's really about mental health. Isn't it interesting about mental health? Like, it kind of is, but only in the sense that, like, they reference it. And the issue is that he is manic depressive. He has suicidal ideation. He has serious problems with abuse in his past. And there's a line towards the end where Yelena... And you can see, like, Florence Pugh is trying so hard to make this switch, but it's like a switch flips in the script where she's like, you can't force that darkness down. We need to be together. And that's, yes, if you are having issues, you do need to talk to people, and it is important to be together. But the cure for serious mental illness is not a group hug.
No, but I do
step
think
in the right direction though.
They
don't treat it that way.
They fumbled the bag, yes. and they didn't nail it with the writing. But the sentiment of like when you try to fight something on your own, being tough and fighting something on your own is not the right way. It's like connecting with people or reaching out is a better idea on how to at least step out of the bad situation you're in. And that's a good idea. And like they've themed the togetherness throughout the entire movie in a way that I thought was good. And like when Ghost, the distrust they have at the beginning of the movie, when like Ghost isn't going to come back for us, a more Suicide Squad movie, which this movie was being compared to a lot, would have had her leave them, and they would have gotten out and been mad and like, haha. But instead, that she did come back for them, and isn't like, I wanted us to be together. She like tosses it off, but she does the right thing. Like, they did the work on the togetherness theme. They just couldn't quite pair it to the mental health thing, because that's a hard idea, you know, and it's a tricky topic.
But I also think you're right, though. Like, those small moments of her, like, they're like, oh, my God, she left us. And then her showing up and being like, oh, whatever, I had to get you guys to get to the next room, whatever. I love the play of that and the wording of that. I thought that was nice.
Just to talk about this a little bit further, I think you're right on the money with what you're saying, Justin, that, like, a lot of the stuff is layered in there. The second time through, I think, you know, even beyond them starting off with Yelena saying, it feels like there's a void in me.
Yes, I was like, okay.
I was like, all right, we get it. But I think, like, you got to do that. Like, that is the sign of a movie if you are hitting those things over and over and over again, and that's good. But like you're saying, it's like these two trains running, and the one they ended up with was the same theme that they had in Captain America Brave New World, which I was complaining about, because that starts off with Thunderbolt Ross in front of his presidential slogan, which is together. And that's the idea of that movie, is like, what if you're having a problem together? And here it's the same thing. It's like, ooh, serious problems with mental illness, had to go to Malaysia, was on meth for a while, and dressed as a chicken. This is really tough. Together? What are we thinking? Yeah. Together, maybe?
Yeah.
And it ends up in the same place, and it's really hurt in particular by, as soon as they hit that point, wrapping it up in 1 minute with like, Avengers, everybody, now we're the Avengers, hooray! And plus that god-awful end credit scene that basically undercuts everything that had happened in the movie.
Okay, wait, I keep jumping. You're so mad, man. You're big mad about this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there, I've seen a lot of criticism about the sort of Valentina surprise into the press conference, into the new Avengers, and then it's over. I thought it was, I liked it, because, like, if they dwelled on that much longer, it's like a magic trick. You can't sit there in it much longer. Like, they had to move on. And I like the idea of that. That was the most Thunderbolts thing, Thunderbolts from the comics anyway, about this movie. Like,
you mean literally like presenting them to the press? Because
presenting them to the press as the new Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like that, this movie, the term Thunderbolts is meaningless based from the comics Thunderbolts until that moment in this movie, I believe. They're just a team of regular misfits until the end, when it's like taking a team of people who aren't quite what they say they are and making them the Avengers is the most Thunderbolts thing possible.
Yeah.
So, like, that, I thought it was earned in that way, especially from the comics.
Yeah, it reminded me of the Norman Osborn press conference.
The Dark Avengers one, yes.
Sorry. Avengers. Yes, you good call. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm just explaining for our listening audience. What else of the movie, though, should we talk about? I thought Geraldine Viswanathan was pretty good as Mel. I always like her. She's a fun presence. Yeah. She had more of an arc. I know I keep complaining about this, but like, she had more of an arc than several members of the Thunderbolts.
God, you ride for Ghost so hard.
Dude, Ghost is great.
I was trying not to say it, but it was Ghost.
Yeah, no, it's obvious.
It's Ghost Riding.
Subtext, Ghost Riding. That's good. I liked the physicalization of the Shame Rooms, the sort of eternal sunshine of the spotless mind of that. I thought they were able to make that visually interesting, even if they were doing the same, our traumas are what our problems are, that we've seen so many times, especially in superhero movies. Yeah. To the point where in this movie, they're like, let's fight our traumas. That's the only way we can beat them. I was like, okay. We don't need to do this again, though, next time. Right, guys?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I thought of, and I don't know if you guys thought of it, but I could not stop thinking about Legion in that last sequence, particularly with like all the things flying across the moon, room, excuse me. And that is a show, granted they had 3 seasons to tell the story, but that is a show that like is way more visually inventive. Like, I didn't mind this. This looked fine, and it was interesting having them crawl through in different directions and everything. But it did very similar things. It went even further on it and also really delved into mental illness and mental health and the long road to probably never recovering completely from that sort of thing.
Yes, and I think that's an example of, like, they had the time to actually do it, because to take on something like this in a movie where you're doing a million other things, not going to work, I feel like. The Void fight at the end, Bob versus Void, very Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's so many, like, you know, Scott Pilgrim, Peter Pan. There's just so much.
Again, and this actually is not just Ghost, but I think, like, that group hug moment at the end would have hit harder for me if I had gotten a sense that the rest of the team had any sort of connection to Bob in the same way that Yelena did. Like, Yelena hugging him and holding him back and be like, I'm there for you. That works. But at the end, when Bucky comes out, I was like, you just met him and he beat the shit out of you. Like, that is your relationship.
But he's like, I see what we're doing. He's just being help. Them all to have, like, a moment with Bob?
But if we had spent more time with Bucky, like, if we had gone through his shame room or found out something new, an interesting detail about him, or if there was some sort of connection where, not to write it, because whatever, but, like, if they started to bleed into each other in more of a way, then we would have seen maybe those themes of togetherness, of connection at the same time as we were dealing with the mental health. I don't know.
If we're talking about the what if scenario, if, you know, if when she went to go visit the Guardian and he had a guinea pig, oh, dude, that would have just been magical.
Really focused on this guinea pig.
Could have then had that guinea pig. And what if they named it the same thing, like their like a childhood dog that they had when they were pretending to be a family or whatever? Oh, man.
Oh, my God. That would have, so you would like them to name their team the Thunderbolts after their Pee-wee soccer team, the Thunderbolts, and also name their hamster after a dog they had?
Yeah. I just think it would have been a connecting moment of, like, hey, because she's looking for somebody. You know, because she really loved her sister and her sister really loved her. And so she has this loss and she's kind of looking to her father for any kind of something. So if it would have been a nice thing that, like, he still thinks about her and cares, you know, if they had that kind of connecting moment, I think it would have been, you know, more powerful and a little nicer.
Sure. It would have been a funnier movie if there was a hamster going with him the entire time.
It's a guinea pig, but yes, it would have been hilarious. Yeah. You know, but some people probably would call it like a Deadpool situation where Deadpool had the dog and he was kind of playing with that. But
what else in the movie should we talk about? Oh, we didn't really get into Taskmaster. Justin just ran away, so I think you and I can talk about this. They did Taskmaster dirty. I think, like, having her be an emotionless robot who doesn't really mimic moves exactly in Black Widow and then coming here to come in and get shot in the head, that's a bummer. It's a Justin's back.
I would
don't
have
you
liked
dare to, talk about take. I'm going to take you to Taskmaster about this.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
What do you want to? You want a spinoff? Take it. Make a spinoff.
I just like Taskmaster as a character in the comics.
Show
it's
off.
Cool. Yeah.
If you got a cool villain, show him off before you kill him. You know what I mean?
They've never done the Taskmaster from the comics in the movies. It's like riding for a Crossbones.
So,
like, where's my Crossbones?
Never means they can't do it.
They also did Crossbones dirty. I agree. Thank you for bringing that up, Justin.
Yeah.
Wasn't there another character who could mimic people's powers who also they really shunted it to the side? I'm blanking on who it is. But
mimic?
No, there was somebody in one of the movies or TV shows where it was like, what do you have against this specific power?
Yeah, it's who is it?
Don't think it was Secret Invasion.
Never say that term around any of us again.
I'm sorry.
Alex.
I'm so sorry.
You keep that invasion a secret. That's why it's called Secret Invasion, because we don't talk about it. It's gone. It's redacted.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about Valentina, but I will say Julia Louis-Dreyfus is too good for the writing that they give her. There's a moment early on in the movie where they're trying to do like a little Veep moment. Mm-hmm. And man, did they not nail it. Man, did they blow the dialogue.
She was more just like a nod to Veep a little bit. That's all. You know what I mean?
I think they put her in the role for that. I think, you know, it's very weird that it's Tulsi Gabbard, right, who's the director of National Intelligence. The fact that, like, she now also has a white stripe in her hair.
I know.
It's so weird.
Like, It's very weird. And, like, it's not like Tulsi's hair grew that way. She dyed it. Yeah. I was like, is this a tie-in? How did this happen?
What are you doing? Is this marketing?
Did you also, that's just what a villain looks like. Yeah. Shouts to anybody. Like, that's like Cruella de Vil.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Yes. I agree with you, but at the same time, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, I think, is, like, number two for me in the movie in terms of what she could do and what she could bring to each individual moment. There's just like little turns of expressions she does that are so good. One of my favorite things in the movie, which is a very Veep thing, but positive, when Mel comes up and she's like, listen, I have to tell you, I am stunned that anywhere we are, you can bring me a really good cup of coffee. And I was like, oh,
that's nice. It was good.
Just the way that goes, takes you on a whole journey in that sentence was so much fun.
That was fun.
And that's what she brings to every line and every scene. So I agree with you that, like,
she is great.
I don't know. She should have gotten her comeuppance at the end of the movie. I think it doesn't make sense to me that she doesn't textually, but
they're keeping her around, I think. Yeah, I think for sure. It's for the future. And maybe we should talk. Well, I guess two last sum up things. I think Marvel was successful when they would take a genre and define the superhero version of it. Everything from the first few phases. And then they became a genre. And then they struggled because there was nothing to push against, I think, with so many of their movies. And now I feel like with this movie, even though this is the last movie of phase
Five.
This is the last movie of Phase Five. That's crazy.
Fantastic Four kicks off Phase Six?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, okay. Do you guys like the ad for Fantastic Four?
One second. Just literally 1 second, then we can talk about that. And that, it feels like with this movie, they're moving into another place with it, where they can just maybe tell stories without worrying so much about the push against another idea. And that's good, I think. I would say I'm excited about that. The other thing I was going to say is it's crazy to watch this movie alongside a show like Andor, which is so meticulous. Everything in the frame is considered, from the acting, the casting, to the dialogue, to every bit of production design. And it just makes this movie yada yadas a lot, especially in the beginning, that I was like, oof. It's just hard to compare anything against something when, like Andor, when you're watching it at the same time.
Well, and I will say to that point, I know we talked about the filming style earlier. It really leans into that extremely dark filming style, which has been popularized, I think, even more by TV than movies, which makes it like hard to see what's going on. Often it's completely desaturated. And I get that the point is that they are in the mud, they're in the muck, they're in the void the entire time. But I want to be able to see the movie. It works later on. There's a beautiful scene, I think, in the shame room where Yelena is talking to Bob and he's struggling with his darkness and the light is just sort of shining in through a window. And as she's getting through to him, it gets brighter and brighter. The beginning, the fight scene in the hallway as she's fighting her way into the building, and it's all filmed from overhead. And you can see the shadows, very similar to what the void causes later. I thought same sort of thing, like really nice play of light and shadow. But in the just like one-on-one scenes, like the scene when she goes over to Alexei's house and it looks like mud the entire time, maybe that's a stylistic choice, but it mostly feels like, just brighten it up, just like open up the lens a notch or two so I can see this thing that you're doing.
Well, you had to love the grocery store weedy box scene because that was bright. That was well lit.
There's a happy medium, I think.
Pete's ready to take it home.
I love that. He's like,
what did they got him for like 10 minutes on the set of Stranger Things?
It's a dumb bit. I think they could have been shortened, but I still thought it was fun.
Can we talk about the end, the new Avengers thing, and I can go off of that and you guys can make fun of me for a little bit?
Yes, good.
Because it's like the quibblingest of quibbling things, but I think they completely fumbled it. This is exterior. They built up the asterisk a lot as part of the marketing. It kept getting larger and larger and larger on the posters till basically the poster was just an asterisk with some small heads inside of it. So fine, that's the marketing part and doing their thing. But also, like, Kevin Feige, when he introduced the movie as Thunderbolts asterisk, was like, you'll find out what it is opening weekend. So clearly this was like a thing that they were pushing. there is no asterisk before New Avengers. Like, that's not how you do an asterisk. Like, they have the title I will tell you. They have the title Thunderbolts asterisk, and then they have a page rip New Avengers. Leave out the asterisk. It's not a big deal. You have Thunderbolts. Oops, actually, they're New Avengers. Fun reveal. The way to do it with an asterisk is, like, you have Thunderbolts. The title comes up. Bink, asterisk, at the bottom of the screen. Bink, New Avengers. Then it's funny that it's a joke that you're playing with. This way, there was no payoff. It didn't connect in any way.
Dude, I love the fact the font matched the kind of old comic book font.
Font for New Avengers, the comic book, unconnected in any way to Thunderbolts asterisk.
Unconnected grammatically, you mean?
Yes,
it's connected. It's connected
because there's.
But how would you make that connection? How would you? What was the? If you didn't, what is the asterisk for?
Here's the thing. I'm certain they had this discussion because someone was you in the room. It was like, well, we got to put the asterisk, and they were like, but it's confusing in the New Avengers to have an asterisk there. It has to be the New Avengers. And they're like, well, but no, we need the asterisk. That's why you have the one in Thunderbolts. They're like, no, it doesn't look good and it's confusing. Delete it. We don't care about the grammar freaks. Go to bed, grammar freaks, is what Kevin Feige said.
They should have left it out, I think. And it also, the other thing about putting it in there, frankly, and again, this is an external thing, is like everybody figured it out. They're like, well, it's either New Avengers or Dark Avengers. Like, you don't have the asterisk
you
in there.
You figured out the asterisk.
Joe Q Citizen.
Like 2 seconds after he announced it, they were like, oh, it's going to be a New Avengers team or a Dark Avengers team. Leave out the asterisk, then you have a fun reveal at the end of the movie. It was just unnecessarily distracting at a bad. It wasn't even a joke that they paid off. Everybody, and I guarantee this, everybody listening to this podcast agrees with me.
Yes, definitely. Well, here's the thing,
Alex. I trailed off and sort of like ate my words.
Your words crawled right back into your nose. Yeah,
it's karma.
Here's the thing. All the articles that were written about the asterisk was the point, and it did work. So think about that.
It's controversial anytime you have an asterisk.
There's no risk in an asterisk.
Of the $76 million that it made this weekend, at least $52 million was asterisk fiends wanting to know. So,
exactly. Yeah. Oh, and they're all super disappointed. Mm-hmm. The grammatical word of mouth is going to be horrible.
Yeah, I talked to Miriam and Webster afterwards, and they're pissed.
Yeah, exactly. Those two drunks.
It was a little rough where I was just like, I just watched this Fantastic Four trailer, and then the afterwards it was like, hey, Fantastic Four's coming. I was like, I know it's coming.
The one last thing I want to say that I did like is all of the media coverage that happened from the moment until we get to the mid and post credit, I thought was awesome. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, smart.
That to me felt like that gets to a thing. Not to plug something, but like I put up a thing on IGN about this. And I think one of the things we talk a lot about Easter eggs in these movies. And I was thinking certainly the entire
time. Around Easter time.
Certainly around Easter time.
Tis the season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about is physical eggs. And they're very expensive right now. But the price is coming down. Anyway, we don't need to get into
it. No, the price of Easter eggs has gone way up too.
Oh, it hasn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, when we talk about things like your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, where every single person has a name and you're like, oh, it's that guy. It's that guy. It gets to a critical mass where it's very distracting. And I think that's the same thing with a lot of Marvel movies and a lot of superhero movies where you get these moments where it's like record scratch. Oh, hey, check this out. Check out this cool thing, you know, comic book nerds. And it just stops the movie dead. To its credit, I think what this movie did was it had references, but they were actually the way you're supposed to do it, which is textually as part of the movie to contrast this team with other teams. Like, to throw one thing out, the scene with Bob in sort of like the fake enclosure inside Avengers Tower, that certainly brought to mind what they do with Captain America at the end of First Avenger when he's in the fake enclosure. They're like, hey, we're trying to bring you very calmly back into this thing. And that shows the contrast between Bob, who is not meant to be a hero, and Steve Rogers, who is meant to be a hero, to the point that Mel literally says that right outside of that thing. Or like, in terms of the music, as they become the Avengers, they play the Avengers theme, but several of the notes are inverted. They're wrong. So like the theme doesn't play out the right way. When they're in the vault, there's a moment, and I didn't notice this until the second time through, But John Walker, when he breaks the power box, he says, on your left. Yeah. And that's something that's like, it's that. Not, it doesn't take you out of it. But no. If you know that is a thing Captain America say, he's doing it in a very different way.
Don't put him in that category.
I liked that one in particular. No, but he's the broken version of Steve Rogers in a way that, and that was a definitional moment. He didn't need to say it. It didn't have the same impact.
Steve Rogers' fan.
Yeah, it's the difference between him being like on your left, just casually while he's breaking the thing, versus Peggy saying, I could do this all day, which is Captain Carter and Doctor Strange of the Multiverse of Madness, which is something like, I know that. That's what Captain America say. So it builds it into the movie, or the entire final fight. Like, they're fighting at Avengers Tower, which is exactly the same place from the first Avengers movie. But instead of being up on the bridge near Grand Central, like the Avengers are, they're down below. They're on the bottom, and that's where the team is. They even have the move where their version of another Captain America, Red Guardian, throws Yelena just like Captain America throws Natasha in the final battle. But this is all stuff that you're not like, oh, this is exactly shot the same way, so much as, again, this is showing us the difference here. This is showing us the thematics. Yeah. And I think that's a very smart, laudable thing that the movie did.
Agree. I think that's why I think this movie is batting above definitely the recent movies and like a lot of what some of the critics are, I think, like people like Alex Salbin are saying about it.
I just to be clear about what I'm saying is like, I think this is a solid movie that a lot of thought was put into that I don't think goes as far as it can comedically and doesn't quite bring the ideas it has together in a satisfying way at the end of the movie as it starts to wrap things up really quickly to move on to the rest of the MCU in a way that like, I wish it had kept it internal. I wish it was the sort of movie, and I know this is not going to happen. I know this is tilting at windmills, but I wish it was like, this is the story of the Thunderbolts. The end. We end here. Like, they're trying to go for a vibe like the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, and that's what they do with those movies.
Well, but I will back again. I think the new Avengers move is very Thunderboltsy, and I love that it was a surprise to them, and it left them sort of like scrambling.
Yeah,
and they had to cut it off so that Bucky didn't arrest Valentina. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think it was smartly done, and I liked the abruptness of it because it left me.
I will say I did like Bob standing on the side and clapping for them.
That was so funny.
He was like, oh, these so guys.
Funny. Yeah,
oh,
wow. Funny. You guys
really cool. Yeah, the way really cool. Glad I could be here.
Yeah. Oh, that was so funny.
Who'd you beat? Yeah. But let's talk about this end credit sequence that I think Pete seems mad about.
We talked about, do we talk enough about the Wheaties one? The one filmed on the Stranger Things set?
I think we talked about it. We gave it due.
It was fun.
It was, I just want to say, like, as a side note before I forget, it was insane to watch, like, in a period of about 5 to 10 minutes, David Harbour go through three entirely different facial hair sets. Where I was like, I know 100% this is Chief Hopper's mustache that you have right now. That's why you 100%. Have that. But then that he didn't have it in the last scene, which apparently they filmed 4 weeks ago. I was like, make a choice, man. Just like.
Well, they were like, hurry. We have to do this now.
Facial hair, man. Why are you mad?
I don't know. Well, it was just a lot. Let's talk about this final scene. So this is something, and I think this should shock nobody. I certainly wasn't shocked when I heard this. This was not filmed by Jake Shire, who directed this movie. It was directed by the Russo brothers on the set of Doomsday, which is currently filming. That's why it looked like garbage.
Yeah.
Wow, slam. Yep.
So this whole thing was like completely sucked the air out of the room, in my opinion. It was not funny. It was not interesting. There was too much information thrown in there about multiple Avengers team and the space crisis that's happening, and then the shot of the Fantastic Four thing, which was ruined by the fact that they credited the musical cue right before that in the credits. So you're like, oh, okay, you're going to have Fantastic Four in the back. Okay, that's cool.
You're reading too much, grammar guy. Just sit there and let your eyes close.
I like to read the credits because, unlike you, Justin, who doesn't care about people behind the scenes of productions, I care about them.
No, I'm with you.
Think about this, Justin. If instead of Fantastic Four, you know, we had a Pew kind of finding a home for her adorable, you know, little guinea pig there, that would have been just glorious, you know, and what a great
that could have replaced the David Harbour one. What I was going to say about the scene that we did get, though, is this. I was so happy that the rest of the movie wasn't like this, because that's the way all these other Marvel movies have been lately, is this post-credit sequence where it's so flop sweaty. It's so like, oh, look at all this stuff, guys. This is going to be so cool. I promise you. It's like someone, to use your party analogy, Alex, being like, hey, are you having fun at this party? I am. This party's the fucking best. You believe this? They got hummus and guac. And sure, it's with store-bought guac, but it's still pretty good. It's still pretty good, right? And it's like, cool it, post-credit sequence. Mm-hmm. We already know the Fantastic Four movie is coming. Don't ruin it by showing us sort of the end or an end.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That so just to clarify for anybody who is confused about, again, the timeline here, not to go too deep into it, but it, because it's jumping 14 months ahead, I think we get into it that this is taking place after the Fantastic Four movie. Most likely there has been an incursion, which is when two parts of the multiverse start to collide with each other. Maybe the Fantastic Four universe has been destroyed. Maybe it's about to be destroyed as part of the incursion. That's probably the space crisis they're talking about, is like a bunch of planets and a crack in space showing up there. And then, yeah, that's what we're getting, is like something that takes place during Avengers Doomsday, not maybe the after credits of Fantastic Four will link up with that. But I don't expect it will actually be part of Fantastic Four proper.
Oh, I bet. You know what I bet we're going to get is their perspective from that same scene. Them landing.
It looked like they were watching the Fantastic Four movie. They were like, oh, look, a spaceship.
We should buy tickets to this.
I will say, and also not at the, when I went to see it at the Regal, but when I went to the press screening, they weirdly showed, I guess it was because we were watching it at IMAX, they showed the IMAX Fantastic Four thing where it's like they do the IMAX countdown, and when it gets to four, they're like, Fantastic Four coming to IMAX, and setting up, playing that before Thunderbolts. I was like, oh, you do not care about Thunderbolts at all. You want to blast past that and get to the next
Alex,
movie. Yes.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because like that's where I thought the asterisk was. I was like, oh my God, are they going to show the Fantastic Four movie and it's a secret, like, I thought that's
they
what
didn't
they
even bother to make a Thunderbolts movie.
Yeah, they just said this is the Fantastic Four. You bought this is the Fantastic Four.
We've done a lot of market research. This is only going to do okay. Let's go to Fantastic Four.
Just play it.
Because when that started, I was like, is this a Fantastic Four movie that they're going to play right now?
Mm-hmm. It was not. Yeah. Anyway, the whole thing, I was like, I don't know. I don't care that this is the Fantastic Four's rocket. Like you said, Justin, we know
it made
coming.
Me not want to watch Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you will.
Yeah, why would you? You saw the end.
You saw the whole movie.
I'm not excited for that movie.
Yeah, that whole thing, and also, like, not to get back to the mental health thing, but the whole thing with Bob being in the corner, being like, well, I can't turn into the Sentry because that'll bring the void. Got to sit over here and read and drink my milkshake. I was like, is he talking to anybody? Like, is he on a medication? Or, like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
But, oof, man, what a bummer. Nothing like a good milkshake, though. You know what I mean?
It did look like a good milkshake. Let's... Yeah. Just to talk about this a little bit further, given that I think all three of us really did not like this end credit sequence, how does this make you feel seriously about a Fantastic Four, but probably more importantly about Avengers Doomsday?
I think this is not the movie. This is them like squeezing something in that is like a little underbaked and quickly made. It doesn't make me think, oh, no, they're blowing this. Mm-hmm. The filmmakers of the individual movies are the people who are making the movies. So I still feel good about Fantastic Four. That still looks like a big creative swing, and hopefully it continues to step out of the Marvel self-defined genre that I was just talking about earlier. I will say the Russo brothers really up again. They're very close to being in trouble. And so with Electric State – and basically everything they've done since their time at Marvel, if the idea is that they're going to slot back in and be amazing, this end credit sequence is worrisome in that regard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they're just really setting a low bar to meet expectations. I'm excited for Doomsday. I don't know if I'm going to see Fantastic Four.
Well, you are. What? We do a podcast about it.
Get out of here. I'm going to drag you to that movie.
Well, hold on. Let's get back and talk about the box office briefly. So as I mentioned, it made $76 million this weekend, which is lower than Brave New World. It's like just above Shang-Chi, and I'm forgetting the other one that is just above, but it's also like below Black Widow, which was prime COVID times, as well as also coming out on Disney Premier Access, where they
people risk their lives to see Black Widow.
Yes, exactly. So I gotta say, like, there's been a lot of people, I put up something about this, there were particularly on Threads a lot of Marvel fans that were like, no, Marvel's better than it's ever been, how dare you? And I'm like, first of all, I'm just literally like reporting that box office was not great for Captain America, a universally held truth, and also this is not the hugest start for a Marvel movie. I think at this point, like, people like this movie, it could have legs. I don't think it will, just because of the summer.
Really?
I think, like, we'll see it.
I think it's going to have a strong second weekend.
I think it may have a strong second weekend, but then after that, that's kind of it.
And Mission Impossible is going to do a lot of damage. But I do think, like, its Sinners has been surprisingly strong. Mm-hmm, so, they didn't expect to be up against Sinners when they put this movie on this date, and they are. So I think they're losing a bit of money there, but I think those people probably also want to see this movie, potentially.
Well, that's the thing. Sinners was only in – I had to make a tough decision where I wanted to see Sinners, but I also had to see this for this podcast. So, you know –
Well, you had to see Sinners for our Sinners podcast.
Yeah, but the – it was only until Thursday, and then Sinners was out of movie theaters. So, it was competing with it.
Yeah, it is. They're competing for screens, but I will say on the more positive note, when box office doing well, it really does raise all ships. So even though they're going to lose a lot of theaters in the third weekend to Mission Impossible, Lilo and Stitch, there's still a possibility, like, people are just going to go in mass to theaters to see all these things. So we'll see what happens. My point, though, is it is, yes, too early to call at this point. But like I said, back with Captain America Brave New World, if we are entering a world where Marvel movies have a ceiling of $500 million globally, and Brave New World didn't even make that, it made like $400 million, they can't keep spending $300 to $400 million to make $400 million. That is just not going to happen.
They're going to start spending less to make these movies, no doubt.
And we'll see. There were also a lot of people that were saying, like, well, we got to wait and see what happens with Fantastic Four. And I'm not the best box office guy, but I don't know about that either. Like, we've already, people are like, it's a fresh start. And the answer is like, sure, it's a fresh start, but also it's what, the fifth Fantastic Four movie? So it's not quite as fresh as I think we're thinking it is.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We'll see. Now that Thunderbolts is out of the way, or it's going, it really is Fantastic Four versus Superman to see what's happening with the genre. And they can both win. It's not versus in a, like, they both lose, but those are the tests.
Yes, for sure. And that's something that I think we'll really know by the end of the summer. They're obviously going to put out Secret Wars and Doomsday no matter what, and I think those will do great. But I think those will do great, and that will be the path forward, is mega blockbuster Avengers movies with 60 to 70 actors in them, not smaller, maybe more interesting things, whether they're successful or not, like Thunderbolts. But Maybe I'm being negative. I guess we will see.
They could also do a lot. They could spend less money on these movies and still make them good, I would argue.
I mean, maybe even better. I would love to see that happen. That would be very cool. All right, folks, if you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Thunderbolts, Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay marvelous.
The Marvel flip is dead. Long live the Marvel flip.
Oh, no.
Yeah, now we're in Pete's shame room.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
when my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.